You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is the 3rd of August, 2023. And of course, I'm your host, Matthew Raphael Johnson. I appreciate you tuning in today here at Radio Albion. And today, we're going to talk about the world's poorest country. A very close friend of mine sent me a few articles about this. And because it's such an important part of my academic work, at least in comparative politics, he thought that I could do something with it, and that's exactly what I'm doing. And I'm talking about the July coup in the world's poorest country, that is Niger. West Africa is becoming a new battleground between Russia and the West, specifically the U.S. and France on the one side, Russia, China, and several West African states on the other. This is not a minor matter. As I have to note, Niger produces a substantial amount of uranium, and the entire area is very strategic. So, on July 26th, the Presidential Guard in Niamey, which is the capital of Niger, overthrew the government of Mohamed Bazoum, who was French financed. He looks like there's a little bit of French in him. He looks like a sleazy politician, and of course a close ally of the West. And this man was installed in an iffy election to help support the American Afri Command, that is AFRICOM, as well as the French armed forces. And there's been 5 pro-Russian coups in West Africa in recent years. But this one in particular, of the largest state of that group, have the West in a state of emergency. Now, AFRICOM operates 2 drone stations, allegedly meant to fight Islamic terrorism, which of course is a cover story. And as of right this second, there are 1,100 American special forces in this landlocked country. And these may be taken over and closed down. Needless to say, the real reason that the U.S. and the French are there is to keep control of the country's gold and uranium. This is a nationalist and pro-Russian coup. And in Niger, it was led by, well, first of all, an Air Force colonel, Amadou Abdramane. Remember, in African, you pronounce words and names exactly as they're spelled out. And although he was a latecomer, the head of the Presidential Guard, General Tchani, and they formed the Council, or the National Council for the Safeguarding of Our Homeland, as the name of the junta. And so the Bazoum's administration has been removed for several reasons. Number one, the security situation against these Islamic militias is collapsing, despite the presence of foreign soldiers. And number two, the grinding poverty of the area and the French control over whatever there is of value in Niger. Now, of course, the regime is screaming because Russia is being asked to intervene here, diplomatically, if nothing else, and that somehow Bazoum is the popular candidate. Now, he did win the elections of 2020, to the extent that these elections can be fair at all. But the first round, he won only a plurality, under 40%. And of course, they had a runoff, and he won just over 50%. There's no doubt that these elections are controlled by the French. And this is not the first time there was a coup there. Bazoum's political party is really very Western financed. The Nigerian Party for Democracy and Socialism. And right on their website, they have the Eugene Jarvis Foundation, the Socialist International. So they're definitely European leftists. Now, the party's website, which I don't recommend you go on, it will not tell you anything about their agenda or ideology. And it hasn't been updated since 2008, despite that party having a sitting president. So after that election in the 2021 cycle, the defeated opponent and the former president, Osmane, contested the election results and lodged a legal appeal. And it wasn't that long after that that some of the Islamic movements that are continuing to be at war with these countries led a massacre, the town of Tilia, where 137 villagers were killed. And that's what caused the attempted coup of 2021, unsuccessful. And is part of the reason why this one occurred, which is successful. Abdramine also mentioned poor economic conditions. It's just subsistence farming. Of course, uranium, gold controlled by the French, specifically through the Orano, multinational corporation based in Paris. There aren't many people natively who could run a modern economy. Everything of any capital value is foreign. But it's clear that Niger is very important. The Secretary of State, so-called, Anthony Blinken, visited the country in March of 2023. And as Alexander Dugin and many others have noticed because of this and the coups prior to this, that Western dominance in this part of the world and many other parts of the world is falling apart. And all five coups, all occurring in the same area since 2020, are all pro-Russian, explicitly so, and aimed at removing foreign influence. And the Guardian newspaper said this: the White House said, as the situation unfolded, the U.S. Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, has spoken to the captive Bazoum and conveyed the unwavering support of the United States. The strong U.S. economic and security partnership with Niger depends on the continuation of democratic governance and the respect the rule of law and human rights. Of course, the U.S. Has forced many coups in the 20th and 21st century. These are, of course, meaningless cliches. In fact, force is all the West really knows. But once Washington saw the Russian flags being flown and the now famous picture of the man holding a protest sign saying that, you know, Putin come and save us, they see Russia as a better bet for their own sovereignty than the U.S., which is certainly the case. Putin has very recently canceled $25 billion that certain African nations owe to it. So in places like Mali and Burkina Faso, all very much in the same boat and they're equally poor, the military took over, and one of the first things they mentioned is that the alliances with France have to go. France, of course, is the former colonial overlord in most of this territory. And there is a French military force there to buttress their economic control of some of these sectors. But as far as the Russian connection, let me quote Alexander Dugin. And this is actually, I think, 2 years ago. So why is Russia's role positive in the region? And why don't African liberation leaders like Kemi Sabe oppose it? Because Russia becomes the guarantor of multipolarity, which allows African peoples to live as they wish. It is in Russia, Sabe points out, that there is no expansionist and neocolonialist rhetoric or obsession, unlike liberalism and globalism. That said, the military and technical success of the Russians, as can be seen in the African front, and the effectiveness of the fight against terrorism are several times greater than those of the French. Russian private military companies, which you hear about all over the Western media, are helping to bring about peace and defeat terrorism, while the Macronian-era combat strategy allegedly fights extremists with one hand and implicitly supports them on the other, trying to derive political advantage from the suffering of African peoples according to the principle of divide and conquer. Russians have no such double standards, end quote. And I tend to agree with him. Niger used to be the West's closest West African ally, the coups in Mali and Burkina Faso, again, directed at the French. Niger is really all they had. Nigeria, of course, much stronger, is largely in the American pocket for now. But even in Mali, the new government demanded the withdrawal of all foreign troops from the country. It was in October of last year that the Burkina Faso coup saw violent attacks on French symbols. And in all of these cases, you have these young kids, you know, look like they're in their 20s, late teens, waving Russian flags in the street and explicitly demanding that the government there shift their orientation from Paris to Moscow. And this has been the pattern. There have been many rallies both before these coups and then after in support of them, all having the same general message. And it was Colonel Assimi Goïta, who was the military head of Mali back in 2021. He's the man who invited the Wagner Group in to assist the state in fighting these Islamic groups in its northern regions. They don't trust the French since NATO largely created these groups in the first place, as was the case in Syria. Of course, France objected to the presence of Wagner there. And in a move that proves that the French have no idea what's happening on the ground, they threatened to withdraw its military forces, which was part of the coup's demand in the first place. So, of course, they welcomed this, and they went on to encourage the French forces to leave. In fact, in Mali, you have an entire movement that wants to start over, to remove French as the national language and to rebuild the country on a traditionalist and ethnic basis. Now, needless to say, Western governments are encouraging a counter-coup to reinstate the civilian administration in Niger. The American National Security Advisor, Jack Sullivan, went through his ritualistic condemnations from the against the military and the CNSP in Niger long before he had any clue of what was happening. Now, one of the key players here is the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, or ECOWAS, 15 members, right now chaired by the president of Nigeria, Tinubu. And, of course, the same ritualistic cliches, the resumption of civilian rule and all of these condemnations. The president of Benin, Patrice Talon, has flown to the country and is trying to mediate a peace. But even the African Union issued a statement that very day, July 26th, informed of an attempt by certain members of the military to undermine the stability of democratic and republican institutions in Niger, which is tantamount to an attempted coup d'etat. The chairperson of the African Union Committee, Musa Mahamat, strongly condemns such actions by members of the military acting in total betrayal of their republican duty. He urges them to immediately cease these unacceptable actions. The chairperson calls on the people of Niger, all their brothers in Africa, particularly in ECOWAS, and around the world to join their voices in unanimous condemnation of this coup attempt and for the immediate and unconditional return of the felon soldiers to their barracks. And that's what the African Union had to say. These ritualistic cliches suggest that they, in fact, didn't write it, or at the very least, were influenced by other forces. No, these coup d'etats are very, very popular. And calling them felons means that they're not going to go back to the barracks. Because the attempted coup in Niger a couple of years ago, you had high military people being arrested. So I'm not sure what incentive they have. But none of the governments since 2020 that the military has taken over have been removed. I mean, they were condemned by ECOWAS and the African Union, but they remain, and they remain popular. Sanctions were imposed by ECOWAS, and they weren't effective enough. The U.S., of course, is going to do its symbolic sanctioning, despite very little trade between the two countries, except in uranium. But they're purely symbolic. And this is so obscure that, you know, what they're saying has no relation to what's happening on the ground. But if they keep pushing, Western Africa will be closed to the West, and that won't affect Africans in the least. But the difference here in Niger, of course, the West is panicking over the Russian element. The Russians have strategically condemned the coup in, you know, but the Wagner Group is there, or at least nearby. And this is so pro-Russian, condemning the coup was actually kind of a dumb idea. This is a huge victory for Russia, but that may have just been a strategic condemnation. But if Nigeria is the dominant force, that means the U.S. by association is a dominant force. So they've frozen Niger's bank accounts, and half the membership of ECOWAS is suspended. The group is absolutely in chaos for this very reason. In fact, the communique condemning this coup from ECOWAS mentions foreign private military contractors. So clearly it's an obvious swipe at Wagner and some evidence of American involvement. But these civilian governments, like all governments, almost all governments prior to a coup, perform so poorly that the coup remains popular. Burkina Faso, Guinea in 2020, Mali, these are popular movements. And Niger is no different. Now, there have been some rallies in Guinea to reinstate civilian rule, but no one has stepped down there. The dozens of political parties that these politicians control. But they mention, in all these coup d'etat, wherever you go in West Africa recently, they talk about the failure of Western militaries against these Islamic militants. And we all know what the story is there. Operation Barkhane, which went from 2014 to roughly last year, and that its failure is the rationale for the popularity of these, one of the impetus for the military governments. And this operation was aimed against groups that the U.S. and the French financed to overthrow Gaddafi. The Western militaries have yet again failed. And as Dugin says, they pretend to fight these groups, but are secretly financing them. Clearly the case with Al-Qaeda and ISIS in Syria. And the French make the same wild claims, subject to Johnson's Law, like the U.S. does. The French claim that they killed the high-ranking Al-Qaeda leader in the area, as well as Islamic State men, but these are unverifiable. I don't believe any of them, because with the two groups here, the Islamic State West African Province, and the Islamic State in general was created by Western and Israeli intelligence, and Al-Qaeda is American ally, especially in Syria. And now Boko Haram and the ISIS group, the West African version, have joined forces. And now there's the Islamic State in Greater Sahara have also joined together. So these French announcements are nonsensical. They're there for propaganda and nothing else. The militaries in all these countries says these operations that the French or the U.S. has been involved in, they don't exist for their stated purpose. And even if it was, they haven't been successful. And everyone there knows it. And that's one of the roots of the popularity of these military governments. And now, of course, because the U.S. is involved in these Islamic groups, they're using them to try to destabilize the military governments in West Africa. It's clear that these Islamic groups are, in one form or another, financed by the U.S. And the predecessor to that French operation was Operation Serval, existed explicitly to deal with the Libyan fallout. These Islamic threats, so-called, came into existence only because of Western meddling in the area. And they were involved in the criminal overthrow of the legitimate Libyan ruler, Gaddafi. So these threats are just a fallout of their own policy. These are created by the West. The U.S. has never fought ISIS, and they've never fought Al-Qaeda. They're allies in their fight against these governments, as well as places like Turkey and Syria. And making matters even worse, so much of the weapons sent to Ukraine have been diverted to these very same militias. Interpol has confirmed that. The president of Burkina Faso has confirmed that. And even the former president of Nigeria. And that's why I say this is the new site for, or a site for the proxy wars there. So when you connect that with extreme poverty and then the Western ideological demands, the frustration with their lackeys in West Africa is understandable. These military governments are popular for all of these reasons. So, as far as the Niger coup is concerned, Tchani didn't show himself until July 28th, 2 days later, because he outranks Abdramin, He then quickly became the spokesman. He was the head of the Presidential Guard, which is the elite, essentially the special forces of Niger. And Chani, of course, is on the ground there, completely agrees with this analysis of the military situation, and is certain that these Islamic groups are financed, at least by the U.S., if not by the U.S. and NATO. And let me quote him here. General Tchani says this when he showed himself in favor of the coup. "We could no longer continue with the same approaches proposed so far, at the risk of witnessing the gradual and inevitable demise of our country. That is why we decided to intervene and take responsibility. I asked the technical and financial partners who are friends of Niger to understand the specific situation of our country in order to provide it with all the support necessary to enable it to meet these challenges." Keep in mind, the whole destabilization of Libya came from AFRICOM. In fact, it was their first action. There's been no stable government in Libya, and maybe that's the purpose. And we know what the fallout from Gaddafi's overthrow have been. And this is just overflowing into West Africa. So we see on July 27th, again, throngs of supporters of this group setting fire for this ridiculous Party for Democracy and Socialism from President Bazoum, and Russian flags are everywhere. Pictures of Putin are everywhere. The Associated Press interviewed a protester, Omar Asaka, and he said, "We're fed up. We're tired of being targeted by men in the bush. We're going to collaborate with Russia now." In other words, the Russians have proven themselves in Syria. The U.S. is financing the Islamic militants that are destroying these countries and occupy wide pieces of their territory. But the Associated Press also said, and that, you know, the U.S. threat, this mafia-style threat, comes down to them saying that the continued assistance to Niger from the U.S. is contingent upon their cooperation with the Pentagon. Now, in 2021, U.S. financed Niger with $500 million in military assistance. Total, since 2012 to 2021, which is a big program in sub-Saharan Africa. The EU launched the 27 million euro military training mission in the country, too. And even those, you know, those involved with the coup of a few years ago, as well as the more recent successful coup now, have been trained by the Americans. Many military leaders involved with both coups. I mean, you know, the head of the special forces, Bamu, General Bamu, another special forces head in Niger, has been trained by has a long history with the U.S. So they're not ill disposed. But it's not the only place. I mean, you have the Central African Republic, the Republic of Sudan, the actual Sudan, not the southern version, and even Mozambique, have invited the Wagner Group to handle internal security to a great extent because they're not financing these rebel groups. They're not financing militant Islam, and they've proven themselves. So as the coup in Niger was unfolding, you had the Russia-Africa summit held in St. Petersburg that very day. So Putin, in his address to the African Union there, said that he will provide grain to the poorest countries on the continent. And that was, you know, given the problems with the Black Sea grain deal mediated by Turkey, this is a big deal. And Putin explicitly said, "We'll be ready to provide Burkina Faso, Zimbabwe, Mali, Somalia, Central African Republic, and Eritrea with between 25 and 50,000 tons of free grain each in the next 3 to 4 months. But Russia can do what the West refuses to do. And now the Western control over these Islamic groups is going to get even tighter, since, as always, they're going to be used against the enemies of the U.S. and Israel. In Russia, the state is stronger. So much of this aid is actually created and disbursed through state agencies. In the American case, it's dispersed often through BlackRock or Vanguard or a multinational corporation. And that's part of the reason why Russia is always going to be preferred. Africans tend to be extremely conservative on, you know, family moral issues. We've seen with the homo debate in Kenya and in Uganda. And for this Africa summit in St. Petersburg, the West was threatening everyone they could to keep them from going. demanding that if they do go, they have to condemn Russia. And of course, none of them would. And the African Union condemned that very quickly. So as far as Niger goes, you're talking about between 5 and 10% of world uranium output comes from that one country. The French firms controlling all of this, SOMER, I mentioned Orano before, and even there, like, you know, Sopamine, which is the it's the management company for the state Nigerian participation in mining ventures. And in fact, it's Niger's second largest export after gold in terms of dollar amount. In 1957, they discovered uranium there. So for financial, strategic, military, as well as ideological and diplomatic reasons, the West is panicking. They're losing all of West Africa. And the threats that these elite groups, French, NATO, EU-supported groups within these countries, liberal groups demanding free trade and all that, they're being kicked out. But whatever the U.S. does, it will have a tendency to fail. These militaries took over because it's a popular thing to do and it was the right thing to do. I've quoted Andrew Korybko before, as a Russian analyst in especially the Third World, and here's what he said on July 31st. Interim Burkinabe President Ibrahim Traore. Now, Burkinabe, that's the someone from Burkina Faso, that's what you call them, which I never knew. Lambasted many of his peers as imperialist puppets in a speech to the second Russia-Africa summit in St. Petersburg for doing the West's bidding and opposing patriotic military coups such as the one that catapulted him to power last October. His words were timely in the light of the AU-ECOWAS threats they made soon thereafter against the neighboring Nigerian junta, which proved that they're functioning as the West's regional proxies. Amidst these rising tensions, Chadian Interim President Mahamat Derby Itno traveled to the Nigerian capital of Niamey on Sunday to hold talks with the junta, though it's unclear at this time, this analyst publication, of what the outcome was. His country is a regional military powerhouse whose armed forces could potentially participate in any operation that ECOWAS launches against Niger, despite not being a member of that bloc. This traditional French ally failed to fall for the U.S. information warfare provocation earlier this year, falsely claiming that Russia was plotting to kill its interim leader. Instead of expelling the country's ambassador, it kicked the German one out instead, after discovering that he was trying to stir up color revolution unrest. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. The U.S. is involved in coups in practically every country in the world, if the government is inconvenient. But telling the Chadian ruling class that Russia is going to kill its interim leader and just making that up, this is one of the reasons why the West is now losing this very strategic and potentially wealthy part of the world. But the Chadian leader, or I should say the foreign minister, did go to the Petrograd summit in the face of Western pressure. And he's involved in mediating the Niger crisis. Now it may work. They could coerce him into participating in some ECOWAS invasion. But it's also important to note that nothing can happen there unless Nigeria agrees to it, and Nigeria is, to a great extent, an American client. Nigeria has a much stronger and very experienced military, by far. Niger has an army of maybe 5,500 men, with poor training and ancient equipment, and one of the reasons that the Americans are there at all is to improve this, where they're not going to be doing this now. It's true, though, that these guys are battle-hardened. They all have combat experience because they're fighting the same enemy. And so many of them, taking Wagner's advice, understanding all of this, realize that these so-called Islamic militants are direct or indirect clients of the Americans. And as always, they're used against governments that the West, including Israel, dislikes, everywhere from West Africa to the Philippines. The West has never fought any of these groups. They are allied with them, or they created them entirely, as I think certainly is the case in ISIS. I'm not sure about the regional branches, but as always, they never lack money, They're always highly institutionalized and standardized. They never lack weapons or ammunition of any kind. You could fight the Syrian army, which is very modern, Russian trained, to a standstill many years ago when the war there first started. Then, and out of nowhere, absolutely out of nowhere, they had a fleet of tankers overnight. Nothing like that could happen without direct Western Israeli support. Needless to say, they don't attack any, they don't attack Israel or even Israeli symbols. But just on Sunday, you had huge anti-French and pro-coup rallies in the capital of Niger. This coup is extremely popular. So even if the West gets its way and they use Nigeria to try to reimpose Bazoum, it's going to be met with resistance. So really, you know, unless their neighbors back off, and remember, the military governments there have been kicked out of this economic organization, which apparently has its own military force and its own judicial system, actually. ECOWAS is, there's so many of these so-called free trade economic groups in Africa. There's dozens of them. It's almost impossible. They overlap each other. But the one that matters is ECOWAS, and it is one of the more powerful ones. And I refuse to believe that the West is not involved, either directly or indirectly, in creating this. Clearly, their ideology is purely Western in terms of integration, free trade, all this stuff. But to prevent the spread of Russia and China's reach, which they're going to fail to do, and to keep their control over some of these strategic resources is the reason that this matters to the West. And in fact, losing all of West Africa, and remember where Niger is, it's half of it, or even more than half of it's in the Sahara Desert. So you have a lot of Arabic speakers there. You know, huge chunks of their territory have been captured. The military situation is a dominant one. Now, the U.S. isn't going to be training Niger's forces anymore. So they lose either way. But since the other military governments in Africa and that part of the world have not been removed and remain popular and are very ideologically motivated, it's not just they're trying to stop failed policies. They're doing that. But they have a positive program and a positive agenda. And these governments now are creating their own institutions. Of course, because of BRICS, the South African government was in Petersburg. And of course, like everyone else, you know, they had their ritualistic condemnation to the coup, but they realized that they benefit from it. And so the West is in the process of losing West Africa. The West is losing its hold pretty much everywhere. And we can thank God for it. Okay, thank you everyone for listening. I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.